Welcome to Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities.
The Black Hand, the Wise Guys, the Cosa Nostra. The Italian Mafia has gone by many names over the years. Even though it's become a staple of American pop culture, the real organization feels as hard to pin down as its ever-changing nicknames. But one thing we know for sure is that the Mafia got its start in Sicily, an island off the southern coast of Italy. It grew from several small groups of criminals into a kind of shadow government, controlling trade and finances across the island. But how did the Mafia get that power in the first place? Well, the answer is small, yellow, and surprisingly sour. For hundreds of years, Palermo, the capital of Sicily, was called the Conca d'Oro, which means the shell of gold. Not because the region was very rich. In fact, the people of Sicily were historically very poor. And not because of any vacation-ready golden sands. The people there were much too concerned with subsistence farming to go to the beach. No, the shell of gold refers to the trees that surround the region, or more specifically, the golden yellow fruits growing on those trees. Palermo, as it turns out, is the perfect place to grow lemons. Until the late 1700s, Sicilian lemons had been treated as an exotic ingredient for cooking and not much more. All that changed, though, when one naval doctor had a medical breakthrough. The doctor, James Lind, had been looking for a way to prevent scurvy from killing his sailors. Scurvy would cause his patients to become weak. They would develop sores all over their body, and sometimes their teeth would even fall out. Today, we know scurvy comes from a lack of vitamin C. Back then, James Lind had no idea what was causing it. All he knew was that giving sailors citrus fruits seemed to help, especially limes, oranges, and lemons. By 1795, James Lind's idea had caught on, and the Royal British Navy ordered gallons of lemon juice to be sent out with each ship. Suddenly, the golden shell didn't just refer to the trees. It also meant the money flowing into Sicilian lemon growers. But as you might expect, new cash couldn't fix old problems. Sicily in the 1800s was a hard place to live, and even harder to govern. Bandits wandered the roads, and local magistrates couldn't be counted on to protect their citizens. With so many living in deep poverty, people would do anything to feed their families, including stealing the lemons. Citrus growers needed someone to guard their crop, which is where local groups of unemployed men saw their opportunity. At first, they offered protection. It seems simple enough, right? The grower would hire them, and they would patrol the lemon groves at night, chasing off would-be bandits. Pretty soon, this protection they offered seemed more like a threat. If growers didn't pay them, they might steal the lemons themselves. And in some cases, the money still wasn't enough. Why work to protect the lemons for a pittance when they could make a fortune selling the fruit instead? The protectors began working as middlemen between growers and exporters, hiking up the prices and taking a big slice of the lemon pie for themselves. And the growers were stuck. Sicily had only just become part of the Kingdom of Italy, and many Sicilians saw the faraway government in Rome as oppressive outsiders. At least with their protectors, you knew who you were dealing with. Soon, bandits of these so-called protectors ranged across the island. The local term for these organized groups of criminals were men of honor. Since they all had a certain bravado, people started calling them the Sicilian word for swagger, mafia. The mouth-puckering roots of the Mafia also helped its expansion. Over the next century, the Mafia got its tentacles into industries all across Sicily, from growing wine grapes and wheat to manufacturing and even local government. But the big moneymaker was always lemons. In the early 1900s, Sicily got some new competition. It turned out that Florida also had the perfect conditions for citrus growing, and Florida oranges, lemons, and limes flooded the market, tanking Sicily's economy. Thousands of Sicilians left the island looking for a new life in the United States. The Mafia needed a new revenue stream, so they too headed to the land of opportunity. And if Martin Scorsese's movies are anything to go by, they found it in abundance. Today, the Sicilian Mafia is known and feared around the world. They're the stuff of silver screen legends and real-life tabloids. But they got their start in the humble citrus groves of Palermo when a gangster gave a grower an offer he couldn't refuse. You know, some days you just need a little reward to keep you going. I'm not talking about something big, more like life's little luxuries. For some people, that might mean a coffee from their favorite shop. For others, a new video game that they've been wanting to play. Many people find their little bit of luxury at the nail salon. It's an affordable way to relax and get a bit of pampering in. And if they're in the US, there's a good chance the nail technician sitting across from them is Vietnamese. In fact, nearly half of all American nail salons have Vietnamese owners. The reason why might surprise you. It's one that goes back 50 years to an actress named Natalie. Natalie had never been one to stand by when someone needed help. So in 1975, when she saw thousands of Vietnamese people fleeing their country after Saigon fell, she knew she had to do something. True, she hadn't started out as a humanitarian. In fact, for most of her life, she was a performer, first a model and then an actress in the 1960s. After that, she was an animal rights activist, turning her home in California into a wildlife sanctuary for lions and tigers in 1972. But by 75, she was at a military base in Northern California, volunteering to help refugees start a new life in the United States. Her first task? To help 20 newly arrived Vietnamese women find jobs. To say this group of women had been through the ringer would be an understatement. Back home, many of them were wives of military officers. Others worked for U.S. military intelligence. They'd gone from comfortably middle class to crammed into military barracks. They were in an unfamiliar country with an unfamiliar language, food, and culture. Many had been separated from their husbands and children in the chaos. And now, with Natalie's help, they had to start entirely from scratch. To help them, Natalie brought in seamstresses, typists, and anyone she could think of to train these women in good-paying jobs. But it wasn't the lessons that excited them. It was Natalie's nails. During the sessions, several women kept admiring how long and elegant her Beverly Hills-style manicure was, which gave Natalie an idea. In the 1970s, manicures and pedicures were an expensive luxury, reserved for the wealthy women who could afford them. A good nail technician could make a lot of money, and they didn't need to be fluent in English to get started. Natalie flew her personal manicurist up from Beverly Hills and enlisted the help of a local beauty school. She made sure the trainers emphasized expensive beauty techniques that would attract clients with more money to spend. And just a few weeks later, 20 new licensed nail technicians joined the workforce. And those 20 women that Natalie helped moved to Vietnamese neighborhoods all across the country. Seeing how well they were doing in the nail business, more and more Vietnamese immigrants wanted to do the same. One couple, Diem and Kien Nguyen, saw the perfect opportunity. Back in Vietnam, Diem had been a Navy commander, while Kien was a hairdresser. Now living in Garden Grove, California, they were having trouble finding work. When Kien's friends returned from training with Natalie, they realized that for Vietnamese immigrants, the nail industry was the new frontier. Someone just needed to lead the charge. So they opened up the Advanced Beauty College in Garden Grove, offering manicure and cosmetology training in English and Vietnamese. Today, the Advanced Beauty College has trained thousands of nail technicians, most of which have been Vietnamese. And when you step back and look at it, these nail technicians didn't just make over their clients. They also made over an entire industry. You see, back in the 1970s, a manicure might run you $50, which is the same as nearly $300 today, which made it a relatively unattainable luxury. But Natalie's nail trainees saw a niche, affordable manicures for working women. But by cutting prices and expanding to working class neighborhoods across the country, the nail industry exploded. For the first time, you didn't have to be a Hollywood actress to get your nails done. All thanks to Natalie Hedren, who admittedly was a Hollywood actress, as is, by the way, her daughter and granddaughter, Melanie Griffiths and Dakota Johnson.
I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, In partnership with How Stuff Works, I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show. And you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.